Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This episode of Filthy Casuals is brought to you by Loot Crate. Go to lootcrate.com/filthycasuals and enter the code FILTHYCASUALS to get $3 off any new subscription.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three extremely kind and knowledgeable boys. You've got myself, Tommy Dasilo. You've also got...
Good night, Irene. It's Ben Vanel with a different intro.
Did you know Irene's my mum's name?
Yes, and it's a shout out to her specifically.
I don't think she listens, but hey, mum, if you're listening.
Wow, this has veered into your mum territory very early on.
My mum listens to my podcast so much that she really sits around the house.
And you may know him as the daughter of Irene. It's the third co-host of the show, Adam Knox.
It's me.
I was just at Officeworks on the way here.
Printing
out posters for the gig that you and I run, Ben.
Yeah.
Catfish Comedy every Tuesday night at the Catfish on Gertrude Street in Fitzroy. And they have a new system there where it's like there's an iPad at the counter.
Oh.
And you have to put your name in and then you go on a waiting list. And like it's a big screen that shows the order of like...
Oh, like a take a number system at a bakery or whatever.
And I think I think the thinking was this will help make it more organized and more efficient.
Yep.
It's gotten worse.
Yeah.
It's made it less efficient.
That's a queue. You're forming a queue, a line.
Yeah. But they already had that.
But a digital queue.
But now it's a digital queue. People just fuck off to other areas of the store and they're getting called out. They don't know they're getting called out because they're looking at spray paint over in aisle 17.
It's like when someone orders a burrito and then they stand and talk to their friend.
Yes.
And they're like, 69, order 69. Mm. And it's like, maybe I'll take that and I'll eat that.
Oh, hell yeah, I'll take that and eat that.
Yeah.
but yeah, it's this ridiculous system where it's like there's no one standing there. There's heaps of people standing behind the counter, but you can't get served. It's bizarre. Anyway, I was up the top of the queue. My name Tommy, sitting there waiting. Mm-hmm. These two girls behind me, they put in their thing and they decided to have a bit of a laugh.
Oh.
And they've just put in your mum.
Oh.
And that was up there on the screen. It just made me feel, I don't know, it made me feel a little ill. Like I just...
Oh dear.
I bet if Yasmin and Mumjula are listening to this, they're probably going to be furious.
I was just like thinking about that poor guy working it off. Like I was just putting myself in that position of like doing a you know, shitty casual job and seeing that come up and go.
Like at coffee shops, I bet you always have to yell at like, Thor.
Yeah.
Is Thor here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then some like weak little dude. Yeah, I'm Thor. No, you're not. You're Jason.
Well, but then I'd noticed because it was taking ages. So I had I did mine, and then when I turned around, I saw they were next on the list. They'd gone. So this poor guy, he's just going to – and no one else is in the shop, but he still – he has to do it because it's protocol. And I got out – I kind of ran out of the store because I didn't want to witness it. Just him going, your mum? Your mum? Oh,
we've got a lost child in the store. He's calling for his mother.
Okay, we've got to plug a couple of things here up the top of the episode. We are doing a live show on the 22nd of April, Saturday the 22nd of April,
yes.
Which you would not know about if you've been listening to this show because we've been very slack about publicising it.
Yeah, I think we mentioned it at the end, like in the last 3 seconds of every show.
Yes. So that's happening, that's Saturday at 4 p.m. at the European Beer Cafe. Tickets are on sale now.
Mm.
We're going to have a bunch of guests that you know from the show. We're going to be chatting. We're going to be doing little comedy bits.
Yes.
We'll try and have some kind of live gaming element to it. But it's going to be real fun.
The European Beer Cafe is on Exhibition Street in Melbourne.
Mm. Yes.
Every place has a place called the European Beer Cafe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, not every place.
I mean,
like,
Well, they're technically all called that in Europe, aren't they?
Oh, hello.
I think you mean bonjour.
So, yeah, come down, check that out. It'd be great to meet a bunch of you guys. The first time we've ever done a live thing, so that'll be very fun.
Yeah, we've never performed live, any of us. It's going to be – I'm nervous, guys.
You've never been outside. we've also got the special episode, which someone pointed out, I can't believe we didn't think of this as a bit, the DLC of this show.
Oh, yeah.
Our Grand Theft Auto retrospective special that goes for about 2 hours is up on our Bandcamp. Do you want to give the URL out of that?
That is filthycasualspod.bandcamp.com.
Yes. And yeah, great feedback on that rolling in. And a lot of people have downloaded it. And yeah, thanks for that.
That's
awesome.
There are apparently a bunch of comments that people have left as well, which I haven't seen yet, but they've mostly been very nice.
And like I think we were all a bit like, are people really going to pay a dollar for this? And a lot of people have paid more than that, and we really appreciate that. That's crazy, but very nice of you. Yeah,
thank you,
and
everyone.
If you're skeptical that being behind the paywall is maybe going to change the content for the show, as someone pointed out, I proclaim 2 minutes into the episode, I haven't really played any of these games. So rest assured, you're getting pretty much the same thing that you get over here on the regular.
Yeah, we haven't sold out. We've just sold a podcast.
We've sold it.
I didn't start that sentence knowing where it'd end.
Oh, well, it was a wonderful joy ride together.
Good. Good podcasting
good
from us.
Yeah. So we should follow up on a couple of things from last week. We had a pretty contentious episode last week.
So many debates.
We were at bloody loggerheads, of us. So we put out, we had a in the outrageous claims corner, which is where each week we invite people to send us their outlandish claims. The bolder the statement, the better.
Yep.
You have to include the phrase "objectively speaking."
Yes.
for any firmly held opinions that you have about video games, and we'll, part of the deal is we reserve the right to rip you to shreds, call you a fucking idiot, say whatever we want about your opinion. We've been getting a lot of those in. I don't think we're going to get time to get to any of those this week.
Too much content.
Actual games.
Yeah.
But last week someone wrote in and said their contention was that video games can't improve. Adam thought that was a stupid statement.
Yep.
I kind of agreed with it. You were bloody flipping and flopping all over the place.
Well, I think it's
fucking Rand Paul over here or whatever.
It's hard to have a concrete opinion about something that is purely subjective. Well, like,
this is what I was going to say.
I massively disagree with that, and I'll never change that opinion.
Well, I can see both sides.
Well, we threw the floor open. We said, you know, write in, let us know. Bunch of different opinions, a lot of very interesting viewpoints.
Yeah.
We can't go into all of them. I think we kind of have to close this one off because this could just become the show from now on.
Yeah.
And the thing that's frustrating...
Well, you know what we should do? We should reopen it in like 10 years.
Well, this is my point. I will say most people are Camp Knox.
Yes. Good. Yeah. The funnest camp. But we've got games and biscuits.
But this was the frustrating thing. I was getting these emails and going like, oh, well, I could reply. I could refute that in this way and this way and this way. But it'll go on forever because there's no...
Yeah. I mean, I could argue this, but I just don't feel like it right now. I could totally lift that big weight.
I already know I've won, so what's the point?
Yeah.
It's not like going, you know... The Switch will be a failure within its first year where you can go, okay, well, in a year we can check in. There's no way that we are ever going to be able to close this one off.
Yeah.
So we need to just put a line under it.
Yep.
And by saying that I was right and that, you know, Knox is wrong. Anyway.
Yeah, no, I was correct all the time and every time. The Switch will be a failure within a year.
Maybe I should just pick a side and that will end it.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Pick which one of us you're going to take to prom. the cute librarian or the total slut.
Oh
yeah,
God. can you make a one sentence pitch for your contention?
Yeah, Tommy first.
Okay, it's a console that you can take anywhere.
Oh. Was that audible?
Yeah, I think
I tried
so.
To do the put switch
some,
click.
Yep. Put some reverb on that.
All right. Every single thing always gets better. Things can only get better. How do the rest of the lyrics to that song go?
They're getting better all the time.
They're getting better all the time as well. I used to be mean. I used to be downright cruel. I don't have a one sentence pitch.
So there you go, Ben.
Just quoted the Beatles.
Who's it going to be, Betty or Veronica? You've got to make a choice.
I
of course things are always Of course, things are always going to get better because literally everything ever has. Look at that computer you're recording this on.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Laptops could never get better than 1994. There it is, right there. Someone might have said that. People did say that at the time. This is the most advanced laptop possible.
I don't think anyone was sitting around in 1994 going, this is it.
I saw it on an episode of Friends.
That was a monkey, you fuckhead.
Chandler bought a laptop and he said, like, this is the height of everything. And then him and Joey played Doom on it, I believe.
Okay, now, Tommy, present your argument using a Frasier episode.
Oh, okay. The little dog running around. Does the dog talk? I've never watched Frasier.
Okay. Does the dog here talk? It is. There were two dogs in Frasier. One of the dogs died and got replaced. Things always improve and get better.
But for all intents and purposes, it was the same dog. Tommy wins.
Yes.
No, it isn't. It's two dogs. It wasn't.
When
it
comes to the experience of the dog, stayed exactly the same.
It was a visibly different dog, and he got more involved in his second guise.
When it comes to the Cheers.
Scrambled eggs all over my face.
The universe of Cheers. Would you call Frasier an evolution or a revolution?
I mean, I'm tempted to say it ain't no revolution.
No, it's absolutely a revolution. Frasier changed the game.
Yeah, I do.
Of what?
Frasier brought people into Cheers.
Yeah.
I feel like.
Yeah. It did for me. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I love Frasier.
Anyway, that's our review for the week. See you later, everybody.
I need to go back for a second. Genuine question, do you think Frasier holds up? I've never seen
Through and watched literally every episode about 3 years ago, and I loved most of them.
But that was 3 years ago. Lots changed in 3 years, baby.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, this was pre-Trump Frasier. The world's different.
When it comes to Frasier, I agree with Knox. It's really good.
I didn't like when Niles and Daphne ended up getting together.
Oh, spoiler alert.
Oh, no.
They end up getting together.
Fuck.
And it kind of weakened. The show was weak from about season 5 onwards, which is pretty much standard for every show.
Would you say?
There won't, they tension was very good. And yeah, I think getting rid of that was a big mistake.
I've been noticing Friends popping up a lot more in a lot of different kind of mediums of chat and that sort of stuff. Do you think Friends is about to become the new Borat in terms of... It's the next kind of big...
Ironic.
Ironically funny to kind of talk about all the time.
I think the thing with Friends that's changed, I went through and watched every single episode of Friends last year.
Right.
What am I doing with
I do that regularly. Like, I get through
It's
phases.
Great. I'll tell you what, Malcolm in the Middle still fucking holds up.
Yeah, that's
massively.
A funny show. Mm.
But so Friends, I think the reason it's gotten such a big resurgence is because it's become extremely dated within the last sort of 3 or 4 years.
Yeah,
I reckon
noticeably so. Particularly like the techno, you know, the 90s-ish stuff, but also the fact that a lot of the jokes in there are very gay panic.
Gay panic is. Yeah. I was going to say, I reckon 80% of it has held up. And the 20% that hasn't is exclusively gay panic.
Which is exactly perfect for it to become the new Borat.
Yeah.
Because 80% of that movie is pretty funny. And then 20% of that movie reminds you that the dude at work did an impression of him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So
anyway. What about I'd love to see someone, or maybe it already exists, a supercut of all the gay panic on Friends.
Oh, God.
Oh, good. Watch seasons 1 through 10 of Friends. And you will see that.
Okay, so we've got to get into... Oh, so yeah, that was the... that was, you know, medium-sized chat from last week. That was one of many debates that we had last week. Video games will never improve.
Yeah.
Then, we thought that rocked us. Then we got into an even bigger debate. Apple pie or meat pie?
Apple pie won.
And we put a poll out.
Maybe things can't ever get better. Apple pie won.
Ben? What are the results?
Apple pie one.
I think I'm just going to the judges. They're giving me the thumbs up. Apple pie one.
Yep.
This is a crock of shit.
Biggest crowd that's ever been out. It was a huge turnout. The people cast their vote, and once again, democracy has won.
Can 2017 just end already?
Yeah, fuck. Yeah, it was a big week for Knox. A lot of people agreed with his opinion on the progression of video games, and his Apple Pie won. So
the world is still sane.
How does that make you feel? You
like
know,
a goddamn
defined
king.
Yourself as kind of this
like
outsider,
a living god.
This real kind of outsider, underground kind of cult figure. Look at you. Now you're part of the majority. You're part of the vocal majority.
I'm fucking underground. I've seen every episode of Friends.
Yeah, you used to be Bill Hicks and now you're Tim Allen. How does that make you feel?
Tim Allen is the cooler one of the two. Tim Allen believes in conspiracy theories and shit.
Sick,
dude's
so
out
do
of
I.
his mind.
No.
Anyway. We've got some real shit to talk about this week.
Okay. Well, there's a couple of little news things that you were that you alerted us to.
Oh, I guess.
Let's do a bit of Noxy's News Corner.
Noxy's News Corner. Come and crouch in the corner. Don't let anybody see us. We're going to tell you about the news.
He's coming to us from Shepparton this week, and all the locals have come out. Noxy, what do you got for us?
Hey, it's me. I'm out of here in Shepparton with all the kids from Shepparton Primary School. Say hi, children.
Yay.
Oh, they've made some great posters and we're out here with the news. Little Timmy knows about the first piece of news this week. Get out of here, Timmy. I'll tell everyone.
I'd love that if this podcast started making enough money where we could just send Nox to a different satellite location every week. Doesn't translate in the audio at all. If anything, it just sounds like shit because he's calling in on a phone.
I've actually been flown out to Caroombara,
but just with a Zoom mic, so I cannot show you any of it. I thought this was kind of funny. Something came out, like that someone did an interview with Mads Mikkelsen and they brought up Death Stranding and he explained about how he was told the plot of Death Stranding by Hideo Kojima and immediately got lost during it.
Great.
Which is a really, really good thing from my point of view.
Yes.
I want that thing to be fucking wacky.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
Kojima, to the same, actually, similar as well. I saw this week there was the dude who directed Kong Skull Island is the director of a Metal Gear Solid movie that they're making.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw this two-minute clip of him being interviewed and someone asking about it. And he seems to really get what I like about Metal Gear. And so I'm positive about the chances of that movie too.
Right. Yeah, cool. Could it be the first good video game movie?
Maybe.
Huge. Yeah.
Maybe it'll be the fourth after Super Mario Brothers.
Yes. Real
watching
steal.
Super Mario Brothers for the second time and then watching Super Mario Brothers in reverse and syncing it up with Dark Side of the Moon.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah.
Very nice.
And the other thing that is worth, I think, mentioning...
Wait, quick question about Death Stranding. Yeah. At what point do you reckon we're going to find out what the fuck that game actually is?
Maybe E3.
E3? Do you reckon that's going to be his big move where he comes out and goes, all right, guys, time for me to get my big old dick out and show you what's happening.
Yeah.
It could also be another entire year after this E3. Like, it could be E3 after this. I reckon we'll maybe get another, like, CGI thing
this time
and then proper stuff the year after.
Which, yeah, you're right. I mean, that would be the worst thing if it's just like, if it... I want it to just be the most fucked thing. Like, if it's the worst thing it could do would be to just have all this weird, this is just opening cinematics and then it's just like, oh, here I am walking around a house.
Yeah.
Got to find a key to get into this door.
Yeah. Where's the blue key? Yeah. I want that blue key to be an octopus and like the octopus is a chef and shit like that.
Yeah.
And well, not necessarily exactly that.
That's an old Game and Watch game, I think. that's Oil true. Panic.
I want to play Oil Panic again. But and also like Mads Mikkelsen getting lost might also be because
he's an obtuse Norwegian man.
And he's speaking to a Japanese man through a translator.
Yeah.
Like, it's probably very easy to describe the plot of, like, a normal thing.
Describe the plot of Metal Gear Solid 5 or 4 or 3 or 2 or 1?
Maybe we'll save that for a different episode.
Oh, okay. Mm. Interesting.
What do you think Hideo would have made of the Oscars this week? Because I reckon, like, that kind of twist ending... That sort of shit is right up his alley.
Yeah.
But I know from his Twitter that he had a big old boner for La La Land.
So
I think he would have been disappointed.
Yeah. If immediately after that had happened, the director of Moonlight had given a huge long speech about the proliferation of nuclear weapons, then maybe that would have worked.
Yeah, a 60-minute speech that you can't skip.
You've got to change discs halfway through to hear the second half of the speech.
It would have been very conflicting for Hideo.
And he's not, it's just a photo of him, a static photo of him talking with text underneath.
Yes.
Yeah. Directed by Hideo Kojima every 4 seconds.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm looking forward to that game still, but we won't know much more about that for a long time. So in the meantime, to play more games than maybe you can even bloody count on one hand.
Definitely.
So definitely
6 games?
At least 6. There's a new thing.
I've never heard of such a thing.
Microsoft announced
this
thing.
Well, you're a Nintendo fan, Tommy, so...
Yeah, exactly. I can play 3 games? Wow, the Switch in 4 years? Amazing.
I'm so excited.
The Microsoft, a real game company, Microsoft announced this. basically, I can't remember what it was called. I think it's called
those guys that make mouses. Cool.
They're called mice, Tommy. God.
Now, are they, when it's a computer version, are they still called mice?
Yeah, they're still mice. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I find that hard to believe.
Well, believe it, baby.
Well, let's go back to the polls. Damn the electoral college of this podcast.
It's Netflix for Xbox.
Yes.
And it's more than 100 games, $10 a month US, to have unlimited access to them and proper downloads of them.
Yeah, right.
PlayStation has had this before with, I think it's called PlayStation Now. And you can...
Ah, yeah. It's like a streaming service almost. Yeah.
So you're playing it remotely. You're streaming another computer playing that game.
Yeah.
And so it wouldn't work very well for like a lot of action-y things because it'd be a little delayed.
The lag? Yeah, that's bizarre.
So this is proper. You download
it. You get them. Yeah,
it's more than 100 things. You can also play them on a PC, I'm pretty sure.
Right.
Oh, right.
So it looks really fucking cool.
That's an amazing idea. And that, you know, a lot of people have been saying this is what Nintendo should turn the virtual console into.
Yeah, yeah.
So hopefully, I mean, yeah, this is really put, because they still, I promised myself I wasn't going to talk about the Switch in this episode because we're so close to.
I think you've already brought it up three times.
No, that's you.
Yeah, yeah.
It's out in 2 days and they still haven't revealed any plans for the virtual console of what they're doing. And yeah, I mean, this has really put a rocket up them because it's like, yeah, this is huge for another company that doesn't have anything like the breadth of a library that they have to kind of get in there and shark this idea from them.
Yeah.
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 Well, and this isn't just Microsoft games. This is all like some of the ones that were confirmed. Like Halo is in there, but then it's like Mad Max and Saints Row and all these things that aren't Microsoft games.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a whole bunch of different people allowing this to happen. EA has a thing like this as well. I think it's great.
It makes it, if you're thinking of getting one, it just makes it immediately. This is what's crazy about Nintendo not bringing out virtual console stuff on day one. Even if, you know, to sort of go, oh, it's just old games, who cares? But, you know, so many people haven't played that stuff.
Yeah.
If you're going in and getting an Xbox now, it just makes it so much more attractive because immediately you can just get all this stuff.
Totally, yeah. And then I already have an Xbox and there's a bunch of games that I never got around to that look like they're going to be on this. Mm. So I'll probably subscribe to it as well.
Yeah, it'll extend the shelf life of that console for you where otherwise you might have... Yeah, I don't know, just not bought any more games for it potentially.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially since like everything's digital now anyway, so there's no difference in realistic terms because I've still got a dumb thing in my head where having a box of the game and owning that disc makes me feel like I own it more.
Yeah, oh, right.
Totally, yeah, do big time.
I don't do that, but I understand, you know.
Yeah, and it's stupid as well because every single time then you need to download the whole game again essentially straight away with all the updates and whatever. So on top of that as well, realistically, you're going to play this thing through once, maybe again years later when there'll be some other version of it anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
So why have this need for a sense of permanence with a disc?
Yeah.
And so I think something with like a subscription thing where I'm kind of renting it, because video game rentals are gone
now,
so that it seems like the perfect thing.
It just seems like the sort of thing it's like with Netflix and Spotify and how quickly that became the way that...
It just made the physical media totally obsolete.
Yeah, well, I mean, with Spotify for a long time, I was sort of, you know, a bit on the fence about it. I kind of ignored it and now it's like all I use.
Yeah.
So there'll come a point with this. I mean, there's a... 30-year history of video games that a lot of them are still
more than, yeah.
very difficult to get your hands on. There'll come a point where I dare say every console will just have some version of this. This will just be sort of how it's done for anything.
I'm looking forward to it.
In terms of piracy as well, like most games aren't difficult to get your hands on if you're willing to do it illegally.
Yeah.
And a friend of ours, Peter Jones, who has a joke about...
And he does always insist that you sort of pronounce his name like that.
Yeah.
Peter Jones.
I was tossing up whether or not to say both his names and then I realised, it doesn't matter. He's a comedian. Yeah. His name's out there everywhere.
Peter Jones.
Yeah.
You're quite good at turning me on.
But so Pete has a joke about how... because Netflix has reduced movie piracy, film piracy, and how you don't need to give people unlimited access to every movie. You just need to give them some movies.
I like that in making
his joke
a point,
is better.
In making a point about piracy, you're pirating Pete's joke.
I am. That is true. And I'm also ruining it. I'm doing like a cam version of Pete's joke.
You wouldn't
where people
steal a
walk
car.
In front of the fucking thing all the time. He has to hide the camera in his jacket for a bit.
But basically, yeah, this will reduce piracy as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially on the PC where it's much worse. If you can get this on the PC, then its simplicity is what's causing piracy more so.
Yeah.
Ease of access is piracy's big fucking claim to good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If Nintendo were launching the Switch with, $10 a month, the entire back catalogue of NES
and SNES. I'd be buying
it
on Friday, like, 100%.
That would just be an instant money spinner.
And from their point of view, I feel like they still think that they're losing money by doing that. That they're not forcing them to buy fucking Super Metroid for the 15th time in 20 years. But you're not. People are. That's diminishing returns at some point. And at this point, having people, I pay $15 a month definitely for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, my theory about them holding off on the virtual console stuff is that day one of the Switch coming out, they figure that a lot of people are going to be getting Zelda digitally, and so
because
there'll be
the only game for the system.
Well, yeah, so I think they just figure there'll be a huge swarm on the eStore, and I would imagine maybe it's something to do with them being a bit panicked, where if they have Virtual Console in there as well, their servers are going to go down, and then that's bad for them.
They're
on day
not
one.
Ready.
Like, yeah, exactly. I just don't think it's ready yet.
Okay.
They're launching it way earlier than I think they ever intended to
for
whatever reason. But there's heaps of shit that thing's not launching with.
Yeah.
Games being one of them.
Yeah.
Like, we muck around with it, but it really is.
Yeah. Well, I will say, it actually now in the last couple of weeks, and it's not like these are huge things because Zelda's going to take up a lot of time.
Yeah.
So the only other thing I wanted on day one was just one or two little things, just some extra little things to kind of...
Snipper Clips looks good.
So, Snipper Clips, just last week, they were like, that's out day one. We had fun playing that.
Yeah,
it's just
$30.
I'll get that. That'll be a fun...
Yeah.
And it's a co-op thing that's fun to, show the system to people. And the Shovel Knight game. I've never played the Shovel Knight games.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And wanted to for ages, and that, again, seems like a perfect thing to take on the go. So now, all of a sudden, I'm like... Oh, day one's cool now. Like, you've got Zelda, and then if I'm a bit hit a wall with that, I've got these two little quick things to kind of jump into and kind of cleanse my palate and go back in. That's all I wanted for day one.
Sure.
So all of a sudden, it's gotten a lot better. It's still not
the
amazing,
rest of the year is a little dry as well.
Yeah.
Like, there's Splatoon and there's... Anyway, we've talked about this heaps.
Yeah, totally.
And there are games coming out, fucking heaps of them right now.
Yeah.
And you bloody boys... You cheeky little dogs.
Well, what do we think? Should we dive into... Should we take a quick ad break right here?
Yeah, let's do an ad break. So, boys, this week we're sponsored by Loot Crate again, our good friends at Loot Crate.
We know all of them personally.
Yeah.
Hey, Jim. Hey, Sarah.
Hey,
Ted.
Crady.
Hey, Crady.
Hey, Looty.
Crady and Looty.
Peter Jones. That's two different... Peter and Jones.
Oh,
two different guys
So, are you on a quest for epic gear, housewares, and collectibles?
Yes.
Wait until I finish the sentence, my good man.
Sorry.
You are fake British. What are you doing?
Loot Crate offers an epic range of pop culture items for less than $20 a month. So whether you're shopping for the geek in your life, or if you are that geek and you are both geeks, gotcha. Loot Crate is the best surprise you know is coming. Every month there's a different theme and there's new exclusive items and it's stuff you can only get with Loot Crate. So treat yourself every month or give the gift of geeking out to a friend or loved one. Now, here's this month's specific copy and at the very start of it, it has an inverted...
Wait, you're not just making this up? You're reading copy?
I thought you were speaking from the heart.
The thing I just said is also scripted. It says raw, like I'm supposed to raw.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. Do like the start of the Metro Goldwyn Mayer logo. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Does one of you guys want to try and do a lion roar?
Absolutely not.
Well...
Right. Sorry, an attractive woman just walked past the window in Ben's house. I got distracted.
Yeah, anyway, we refuse to say the roar. That roar in the distance is a call.
Oh, you should have told me I'd do it off mics. It sounds in the distance.
Well, I didn't read ahead. Will you answer it?
Yeah.
I need more information. Sounds dangerous at this point.
This month we're going primal. And unleashing the beasts of some of pop culture's most ferocious franchises.
Fred Flintstone.
Hey, don't get ahead of yourself. This savagely sweet collection has items from Overwatch, Wolverine, which is good. I like Wolverine. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite Marvel characters. Mm-hmm. Jurassic World and Predator. Predator, great movie.
Mm.
Predator 2, also a movie.
And I watched the reboot of Predator and hated that.
Predators?
Predators, maybe.
Yeah. Did you hate it?
Yeah, this is really lame, but I thought it was gratuitously violent.
Well, mate.
I took my two-year-old out of it.
It's weird that Loot Crate insisted that we review the film Predators within their ad.
It's in the copy, baby.
Weird stipulation, I reckon.
Yeah. Anyway, Primal, this month's one, Primal includes the exclusive pin and the T-shirt. The last month's one, the pin was a little Megazord and the T-shirt was a Power Rangers one.
What?
And
I didn't get that one.
Oh, really? I did. Check your mailbox, buddy.
Yeah. Maybe I wasn't home and it got sent back to the post office.
Yeah, maybe.
The last one I got had all the Ninja Turtle stuff in it.
Oh, yeah.
And it had a little Ninja Turtles pin in it, which I thought was cool.
That was awesome.
Captain America shield as well?
Yes.
Was that one? Yeah, I like that
shield.
And
a shot glass in the shape of Shredder.
That was fucking awesome. Yeah.
Well, yeah, no, the most recent one I got had a Lego Batman, like, ramen bowl.
Oh, what?
This cunt's living in the future.
It had a bunch of, it was like, oh, the Tetris magnets.
Oh, they're sick as well.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
What are you pointing at?
On the fridge.
Oh, to be clear, we have sent these by Loot Crate. If you have a subscription, you will reliably get them every month.
Yeah. You probably already have them and are enjoying them as much as I am.
Let's bring, because it seems, I don't know what their weird obsession is with giving you like items to like eat or drink out of. There's always food-based stuff.
Yeah.
We should do something at the live show where we bring down, because what have we got?
Oh.
Freddy Krueger chopsticks.
Yeah.
We've got a Shredder shot glass.
Yeah.
You're telling me we've now got a Batman ramen bowl.
Yeah, yeah.
So we'll have like what? Two or three more in the neck by the time we do the live show.
Yeah.
Let's have a feast.
Oh, yeah. I like this a lot.
Maybe if they pay for that, yeah.
So let's wrap up this ad, guys. You've got until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific American time to subscribe and get that month's crate. It's the same every month, I believe, the 19th. And when the cutoff happens, it's over. So if you want to get this Primal one, which sounds cool, sign up now.
Yeah, great.
And to sign up, you go to lootcrate.com/filthycasuals and enter the code filthycasuals to save $3 off any new subscription. So thank you to our friends at Loot Crate.
And worth pointing out that helps us out too if you do that. You know,
very much so.
It helps out the show. So if you were thinking of doing it, you're interested for a bit. And yeah, we should say, yeah, they are nice enough to send us each one each month. And I enjoy getting it. It's fun.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's fun
to
see what's in there. And there's always cool stuff to read.
We always talk about it. We always talk it up. Because there's genuinely awesome stuff in it every time.
The little books that they send are always really cool.
I
like the bit in the copy where it says, if you're the geek or for the geek in your life, which to me assumes that you're not a geek. So somehow you've got like a nerdy partner, yet you're listening to the ad on this show when you yourself are some raging jock.
that does happen. I was speaking to a friend the other day and her boyfriend listens to this show.
Mm.
And the time when he listens to it is loudly when they're going to sleep.
Oh, yeah. You told me that last night. Yeah.
So, amazing.
Yeah. So some, I mean, she's not a jock. She's a goddamn nerd as well, if it's truth be told.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing that at the... I'm looking forward to seeing that at the live show that we do, because this is something I've encountered many times with my other podcast, The Little Dum Dum Club. Partners getting dragged along who have absolutely no interest in whatever the fuck it is you're doing up there.
Yep.
But they're there, you know, the person they love loves it and they're trying to get them in and they're like, come on, baby, you'll love it. They swear at each other on stages. You always see like it's like
Batman
a guy,
ramen bowl.
Yes, exactly. It's like a guy, it's like the guy in the relationship going, and the girl just on her phone just going, fucking, look, I'm getting taken out for dinner next week as trade-off for this, so this is good.
We had that exact dynamic. We met a really nice guy, Jack, yesterday.
Yes.
And someone else who was there, he wanted to get a photo of it with us, which was cool.
Yeah.
And it was with his girlfriend, whose name I've forgotten.
Jasmine. Yeah.
And someone offered like, oh, do you want me to take a photo and you can get in as well, Jasmine? And she's like, no, I'll take the photo.
She was very, like, so that was at our comedy night, Catfish. And she tweeted about it very, very kindly.
Yes.
And she had a great time. So, and yeah, it was very nice to meet both of them, Jack and Jasmine, the two J's.
Mm.
Double J.
Double J.
They're too young to be listening to that station, in my opinion. okay. Ad over. All right. So, we've actually been playing a bunch this week. Well, you in particular, Ben, you went in on the Ghost Recon beta.
Yeah, Ghost Recon Wildlands.
Love a beta.
Oh, I don't. Well,
loves a cuck.
I've loved one of the betas I've played recently, and I've disliked the other one.
Okay.
So if you've listened to the previous episodes of this show, you'll know exactly what I mean by that.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on.
Yeah.
Ghost Recon Wildlands did not grab me. It kind of like, it feels a bit like one of the Just Cause games.
Yeah.
So this is like, is this a Tom Clancy?
It is, yes.
He's back.
Yeah. I've played one of the previous Ghost Recon games, and again, it was very bland, very forgettable.
This looks nothing to do with what I remember Ghost Recon as being.
Yes. So yeah, so it feels a bit like Just Cause, except there's, you've got like a 4-man team, and it's nowhere near as fun.
Right.
Look to me, and tell me if this comparison makes sense, like a co-op sort of Far Cry-ish type thing of taking over the base or whatever.
Kind of. It's more, kind of. But again, it's just not as well done.
Well,
it's
just
not
a lot
clear.
Of that, like, pretty standard stuff now of like tagging a bunch of enemies from the outside, going in and trying to be stealthy and killing a couple of them from behind. Someone sees you, you shoot the rest.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
You can. You, yeah. Yeah. And
so
like,
this beta
there's
was this what just open over the weekend, and you were?
I think it's still open. It's been it's been open for a while.
So you're playing this online with other people?
No.
Okay. So it's a demo.
Basically, beta, yeah.
Yeah, they're all basically demos.
They're all basically demos, yeah.
It comes out in a week or something.
And most of, well, the two that I've played have been like pretty much full access to the game, but it's, yeah, it gets shut off after a couple of days. Yeah.
What was
yeah.
the other one?
For Honor.
Oh, right. Okay. So with Ghost Recon Wildlands,
yeah.
then, did you, like, it looks boring and bland and basic.
It is exactly that. The three B's. Yeah.
So what are you doing? You're in the desert. That's kind of the vibe.
It's like a Mexico cartel kind of thing.
Cocaine, sort of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you're like a little special ops team. And yeah, fuck. It's bland. It's kind of looks like a game that could have been on the PS3.
Wow.
It's not particularly interesting. It takes from games like Far Cry 3 and 4, and doesn't really innovate at all.
And so you're there with three other people. Is the thing, I'm assuming the fact that you weren't playing with other people online is just because it's limited for the beta or whatever. Like,
I think you can play online with people. I just didn't want to. I played the single player bit first and was not interested.
Do you imagine that would make it significantly more fun? Like, do you think you would actually have to, like, was it easy? Would you have to coordinate a little bit and like?
Yeah, the controls were really shitty. Right. The vehicle controls were terrible, and there's a lot of like cliff sides and hills and things where you just accident. Like Tumble. There was a delay in the controls. You press left, or, like it doesn't register the analog stick moving until you've moved it all the way.
Oh.
It was really shitty.
For if you're driving.
If you're driving, right. And then when it's the shooting controls, it's a bit floaty, not very precise. The auto aim is kind of shitty. Like it hurts it.
And this is far enough down the pipe where that, I mean, that's not going to be fixed?
No. That seems
a week
like a very
or two. Like, yeah, okay. This is basically,
I guess,
the
like
game.
A day one patch it, but yeah, if enough people hate
well,
it.
Well, and
yeah.
then the way Ubisoft's been going as well, they'll keep updating it for a year or something, maybe. They did that with that Rainbow Six game, apparently, which I've not played. But,
right.
Friend of the show, Ben Russell,
played
this.
He hated it.
He fucking hated it by all accounts.
That, yeah.
And by all accounts, I mean his account.
And, his Facebook account.
But he's like a big apologist for like The Division and that sort of thing, which are roughly similar sort of game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Third person cover shooter with
co-op
online
focus,
stuff.
Online sort of thing.
Yeah.
And for him who like to love The Division and hate this really suggests it's something shitty.
Well, the thing is that if you wanted to play a game like this, you'd just play a different, better one.
Yeah.
There's no reason to go in on this.
Yeah, there's nothing, yeah.
This
yeah.
looks like a million other games, like you say, like Just Cause, like a Far Cry a little bit, like a Division, like
yeah, absolutely.
And these games that also a lot of people are kind of sick of and moving away from.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
The Tom Clancy series just seems like at this point, like there's a kind of a small core fan base that it sort of strikes me as like Call of Duty. There's so many and it's off in so many different directions that you're still on board into it, but no casual passerby would be like, oh, this is worth going in on.
Yeah.
All the Tom Clancy things are so, not that distinct from each other, but are all pretty, like, I remember loving Splinter Cell back in the day.
Yeah.
If they made a new one of them, I'd probably be really on board. But yeah, Ghost Recon and Rainbow Six and Hawks.
Oh, yeah.
And, End War.
Oh, God.
I never got into anything else there from the Tom. He would be spinning in his metal bullet bomb-proof grave.
Yeah, his Cold
I'm assuming
War
he has
paranoia
some sort
grave.
Of like laser grid inside of his grave or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, so no good out in a week. Have you looked up like what the overall consensus vibe is on the net?
No, but I assume it's not positive.
It looks negative. And yeah. I don't think anyone's ever been super positive on that game as well. Like, all the trailers looked kind of dog shit.
Yeah.
And then they added in all that fake awkward talking over the top of it, which yeah. sucked.
And so the difference for the series is that it's like, it's properly open world. And it's taken the most obvious and least interesting aspects of open world games and just done it.
Yeah, and like, oh, cool, it's open world now. You're years too late for that to be an exciting thing.
Yeah,
and also it's launching at a time when there's a lot of, you know, great yeah. big profile stuff coming out, so yeah. it's just going to get lost in the swamp.
Yeah, yeah. Drain that swamp, I say.
So anything more to add, or that's it?
Yeah, yeah, I played it for a few hours, did not like it at all.
Sounds shitty.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, the last time you were talking about a beta was the For Honor beta, which...
So, two Ubisoft games.
Yeah, right.
Both that I played the beta for.
Fuck Ubisoft, pump it out.
Yeah. And so I played For Honor and I bought it. I played it for a long time and I really, really like it. Ubisoft has not had a great track record lately.
We were recording this at your house and it's freaking me out that the disc for it is just sitting there on your dusty base of the TV. That's fucking making me so stressed.
I just cleaned it off with my glasses cloth.
Oh, boy. Just the disc sitting free and in the open. Yeah. Put it back in the case.
Do you want me to do it?
Nah, leave it. Let him learn from his mistakes.
This will be good for you. This will be good for you to overcome this fear.
Yeah, this is immersion therapy.
There's going to be a spider come out from underneath it and the whole package will be complete.
Oh, did God. You ever like have friends growing up where you'd lend them a DVD? And you'd lend them a DVD and then you'd be at their house and like the DVD that you've lent them, the disc yes. would just be lying on the ground. It's
just
like
in this pile
come on,
of
man.
Bullshit with all like fucking yeah. Yoho Diablos and yeah, whatever. Yeah. Like, they're not all toys, cunt.
It's yeah. like, treat your own shit how you want. You know I'm coming around. You know that's mine. At least pretend to have some respect for my property.
Yep. Oh, the yep. worst. You, Ben. You'd have been him.
No. I was the guy who didn't like it.
All right.
Yeah.
But I've just relaxed a little bit in that one area. Every other area, yeah. more uptight than ever.
Is this you lashing out?
Yes.
The divorced dad?
Yeah.
This is the equivalent
pouring myself a full glass of red wine.
It's just you taking the disc out and putting it on that dusty TV frame and going, your mum never lets you do stuff like this, does she?
You can just buy ice cream from the shop now. You can have it for dinner.
Stay up until 8:15 p.m. tonight.
So, in contrast to Ubisoft's Ghost Recon, For Honor is really, really good. It's a very new, very innovative kind of game.
Yeah, I don't have a strong sense of what you do in this.
Okay, so I get it.
He means in life.
Oh. Yeah. I don't have any answers for that. You leave your discs line-free, gathering dust. I'll start by describing the story mode. So the story mode is... Well,
why don't you just do it? Like, I will start this sentence with the word the.
Because
the story mode is very...
All of a sudden, I feel like this review is going to go for 6 hours.
Yeah, sorry. Let's just go.
Yeah. So the story mode is... It's very shallow. It's not a very well-drawn story. But what it does is it plays as a tutorial. So the way it's structured is that there are kind of heroes that you fight amongst an army, and they're kind of like you. It's kind of like you're facing off against another player in a fighting game.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. And so there are lots of little weaker enemies around. Yeah. So almost like, I don't know if you've ever played any of those Dynasty Warriors or whatever.
Yes.
It looks like those. Okay.
So it is. So yeah, as you're fighting through a battle, there'll be guys who are like on your level and you fight them, and it's kind of like you got to counter their attacks. You can parry, you can get in quicker. There's like left, top and right attacks and blocks. So that's kind of the core combat mechanic.
Almost like a rock, paper, scissors-y type situation?
And more like a fighting game where you can block low, block middle, block high.
Right, right.
But it's in 3D and yeah, it's kind of more directional in terms of your front kind of view.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so you'll fight like the kind of guys that are on your level. There are little runty guys that you just kill in one hit, and you have like powers. So like you can have like a charge move or like a heal move or whatever that are just on the directional buttons.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like a Diablo setup where you're like hack and slash with,
okay.
you know, little power-ups and
stuff.
And they're
recharging down the bottom or whatever.
Exactly,
okay.
Yeah. And yeah, the story mode is kind of, you just go from set piece to set piece to set piece. Mm-hmm. Battles are kind of different. There's like bosses basically, which are pretty cool. It's got very typical boss battle where you have to predict their moves.
Yep.
It's all timing based. And yeah, the story mode kind of just like slowly builds up. You go from the knights to the Vikings, and the Vikings to the samurai. And that is really, really enjoyable. Like, it's there's no real story, but it's just about moving you from set piece to set piece.
Okay. Cool.
And the combat, once you get a hang of it, it's really addictive. Like, it's so really, really fun.
You say it feels like a new thing. Like So almost like an evolution of a fighting game type thing.
Oh, boy.
Or like a sidestep from that or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I'm not getting back into the thing of like maybe fighting games have gotten better. But
yeah,
it sounds
like you went all boy because you felt like he was about to make a dodgy joke or something.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, it had all the build up of like, so would you say it's like, oh, fuck, here we go.
So these trams you've got, do they no, I'm actually finding myself genuinely interested in the sound of this.
So it is hard to describe because it's like, it's like hack and slash like Diablo with bosses, but it's a directional blocking, parrying, and attacking fighting game style.
Would you say the combat against like people on your tempo is fast paced or slow paced? Like, is it quite like Dark Souls-y, like methodical, like every swing kind of counts? You got to account for the timing of how long your attacks last.
Not my tempo. Not my tempo.
Not your tempo.
Not my tempo.
It is like that in that if you try and rush, you will fail.
Yeah.
What about if you drag?
Again, if you drag, you fail.
And were you rushing or dragging?
You're supposed to slap me in the face.
I was about ready to. I was going to lean right the fuck over there and come get you.
But no, it is. I guess it is.
Block high this, motherfucker.
It is comparable to a Dark Souls. Like, I played Bloodborne, and it is, if you are impatient, you will lose.
Sick.
You can like I tended to kind of rush a little bit.
Yeah.
Just go hack and slash, and if you kind of get good at that, it does work. But yeah, there are instances with bosses where you just have to be patient.
Yeah. And what was it like when your mummy found out daddy wasn't Eugene fucking O'Neill? Does anyone remember that line from the movie we were doing?
La La Land?
Yeah. This sounds really cool.
Yeah, the movie
Whiplash. It's great. I really recommend it to anyone.
Yeah. J.K. Simmons, incredible performance. Really, really good. I played a bit of the multiplayer as well. So that's even more. There's even more depth there.
Yeah. So is this like the bulk of it is the multiplayer? The online component?
Yeah.
The storyline is just to kind of get you to grips with. Yeah. Okay. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And so the multiplayer. I don't play a lot of multiplayer. But the way it's set up is that you do choose a faction out of the three.
Yeah.
And all of the multiplayer games that are going on around the world contribute to this overall fight.
Oh, sure.
Oh, that's cool.
So if you win a match, it contributes to, you know, your faction for this round, and there's seasons. So it's all broken up into
an overall
competition. And so there's one-on-one duels. There are skirmish matches and death matches. And look, there's all the basic multiplayer modes.
Like, capture the one point and hold it and like that sort of stuff. Yeah.
And it's based around a melee combat system.
That sounds fucking really fun.
And
this sounds cool, but it sounds like, and I could be wrong, that if it wasn't for you talking about it, I wouldn't have really heard anything about it.
Yeah.
It sort of sounds to me like something that, again, like just because of when it's launching, is possibly going to get a bit lost.
Yeah.
And then maybe in a couple of years they'll do a sequel and that'll be the one where people are like,
potentially,
oh, this is, you know what I mean? They add a bit more in or whatever.
Yeah, it is a weird time to drop a very new kind of game with like genuinely a lot of depth.
Yeah.
So there's also like there's about, I think, 9 or 12 different classes basically. I think 4 different ones for each faction.
Sure.
So it's like heavy, but they're slower, but they're powerful. You know, it's the basic kind of classes.
Yep.
And each one you can slowly upgrade and level up as you play with them through multiplayer.
Are they very different from each other to the point where it would be like a fighting game differencing characters in those?
It's more like a multiplayer shooter.
Like a soldier or a medic or whatever.
Yeah. It's more like that.
Okay.
But then you kind of get a currency called steel that you accrue through experience, basically.
Real steel?
What type of steel is this?
Sorry.
Drag it out, mate. First rule of comedy. Drag it out.
Don't rush it.
These trams you've got. What are they?
Anyway, Whiplash 5 out of 5. So you use that currency to buy gear, and that currency you can pay for with physical money.
Right.
Right.
So that is where it's comparable to like a Call of Duty, where you can just pay for the best sword.
Sure. You can earn that sword separately.
Yes.
But it, how much money you earn from playing the game translate to how quickly you could buy it?
What?
If that makes sense. How rapidly would you progress?
Save up the in-game money.
Yeah. Just by playing it, yeah. Experience.
Like, am I paying $6 for instead of playing for 30 hours? What's the ratio there?
It doesn't seem to be that big of a difference.
Okay,
it's,
cool.
It's right, just yeah. It's just incremental, yeah, bonuses to different parts of your sword. Like, you can upgrade your armor individually, your sword, like your blade, your hilt. There's a lot going on in this game, basically.
Got to have a good hilt.
Got to. Oh, mm-hmm. Oh, baby.
You want to be king of the hilt. So you'd recommend?
Yeah, I really like it. There's a lot of other stuff coming out at the moment.
Yeah,
but,
totally.
That's what I was getting. Like, hypothetically, say I'm not that into multiplayer stuff. Is this going to sway me?
Yeah, because I'm not, and I enjoyed the game enough to get into the multiplayer.
Okay, cool.
So it's
well, yeah. It sounds like a good contender for in the category of a couple months' time, bit of a sale going on.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Shop. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is on Xbox too, yeah?
I think it's multi-platform. It is, yeah. It's on PC as well.
Yeah.
I played the demo, the beta on PC, so...
Right.
Yeah.
Great.
I really like it. I'd recommend it.
Right.
Well, no other games out this week. Let's move on.
We'll move on now to Horizon Zero Dawn.
The big boy this week.
Came out today.
Well, no, it isn't actually. Zelda is.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we'll get into that in a bit.
Sure.
But yeah, that came out. So Horizon Zero Dawn. Now, this is something we haven't done for a little bit. Ben, you and I have both played this game a bit.
Yeah.
You played it a bit yesterday. I played it a bit today.
Yeah.
I guess we should mention, like, Sony sent these
Sony,
to us.
Sony sent us three copies, which is very cool.
Yeah.
And this is kind of rare because we've done this for big stuff in the past. We've either all played a fair bit of it like together, or we've kind of been talking as we've been playing it. This you and I have both played this, and we haven't talked about it at all.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Do you want to just say?
Well, I've talked for ages. So how about you lead off?
Do you want to just say overall what we both think of it?
Okay.
Okay.
You
want to
count down 3, 2, 1?
Well,
so I've played for maybe 2 or 3 hours. I think I'm just at the thing that happens right after the proving ceremony.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah. So how much further on from that are you?
An hour? Couple
okay.
hours?
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
On three, so both of you
the,
say...
I'm just out of the guts of it.
Both of you say... love, like, hate.
Okay.
Okay? On three. 1, 2, 3. Apple pie.
Like... Did you make us say we like and love apple pie?
Yeah.
Through trickery.
I'm a cheeky gremlin. Okay, so you love it, you like it.
Yeah, but
let's
I
start
think,
with Tommy. I want to hear Tommy's. Yeah.
Okay, so Well, do you want to just talk a little bit about what it is?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's set in the future, it's Earth, and basically...
What it is, bro. Sorry, I was trying to... The reason that took so long is because in my head I was like, don't say it.
Oh, I have that at least 5 times an episode on the show. So what's happened?
It's
future,
a very far future, yeah.
Machines have taken over.
Yeah.
Kind of, I guess. And then the Earth has kind of decayed.
Yeah.
And so... But machines are still running around. Basically a premise for that lets it have the setting of caveman era sort of environment with big robot beast dinosaurs.
And the robots are all animals, essentially. Like
they behave like animals.
They're not robot-y robots. They're all crocodiles and giraffes and shit.
Yeah.
So you play as a girl called Aloy.
Yep.
And you start off... Let's just talk up until the bit that I'm at now.
Yeah.
Because we also got like a press release from them where they said... Hey, don't spoil anything beyond this bit.
Yeah,
like, you're cool
to
talk up to this bit.
Yep.
So maybe, well, I'm not going to give away anything big.
Yeah.
So
I don't want you to either. I haven't played it
okay,
yet.
Okay, sure. You're an outcast from this tribe.
And then what happens when I start playing the game?
No, you're popular now. Remember that?
Yeah.
You're
the leader of the tribe.
You are an outcast. You've been an outcast your
like
whole
Gary
life.
Gary Glitter.
you play a little bit as a kid, and then it comes in on you as an adult.
Yep.
And basically, you trying to get in with this tribe, you have to like do a kind of what
ritual,
would you call it? Like a ritual thing,
yeah.
That's going to prove that you are worthy of being in this tribe.
Yeah,
you have
yeah.
a guy that's been kind of like
surrogate
guiding
dad.
You, who's yeah. raised you,
yeah.
And because he's still going to be an outcast once you pass into the tribe, you're not going to be allowed to talk to him.
Oh,
so the
shit.
First bit of the yeah. game, you're walking around as an outcast, and you go to settlements and you'll go to talk to people, and they'll just go,
they blank
why
you.
Why is she trying to talk to me?
Yeah.
Like you're not allowed yeah. to talk to me. Like
yeah.
so.
Why does she want to be in this tribe if she's got her dad? I mean, that's
there,
very specific.
There are story reasons.
There's story reasons. Yeah. yeah, yeah. We won't go into too much more.
Yeah,
of
sorry.
It,
but
but
that's cool that like immediately you're giving a loose description of the story. I'm like, oh, why is this character thing happening?
Yeah,
so this makes me think maybe the story is kind of good.
Well, it's interesting because we were talking last night about it, Ben.
Yeah.
And you were saying that you were interested to know what I thought because I was very excited for Far Cry Primal last year.
Yeah.
And then it came out and I just was – we played it a bit
yeah.
for the show.
Yeah.
I tried to go back to it and just kind of didn't grab me in any way.
Yep.
And immediately this is just everything that I wanted out of Far Cry Primal.
Yeah.
Like it's got a story that I give a shit about.
Yep.
I'm really into the story.
Yep,
like
me too.
Far Cry Primal had nothing in the way of story. Like,
this is yeah. surprising to me, honestly, the story stuff, because I've seen other people say that.
Mm.
And this sort of game and the trailers all looked a little like the acting was a bit lame or something, or the writing was a bit weak.
Yeah.
And all those Killzone games have always been a little lame with that stuff, which
yeah.
is this same group of people.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I was actually thinking about this today because we talk about this on the show a bit about the writing in video games.
Yeah.
And it being good or bad. And I just reckon, you know, I think that games, the writing in games more and more gets stacked up against the writing in a good movie because games are increasingly trying to be more of a cinematic experience. But I don't think that's fair because I think they're their own thing. I mean, if you read a comic book and you really analyze the dialogue in it,
yes.
it's fucking stupid when compared
yeah.
to a movie.
Yeah.
But in the context of what it's in, great comic book writing, if it was just read out in film, would look like shit.
I yes. enormously agree with this, and I would say that, like, I think the same thing.
Yeah.
And that's why things like Witcher 3 have the best, like, video game writing to me,
yeah.
is because there's so much incidental, kind of boring stuff that if you put it into a movie would
yeah.
be a waste of the movie's
totally.
Time.
Yeah.
But that sort of stuff is what brings a game up so much.
Because yeah. it's not just about, like, showing these characters and all that. You've also got to, I think, in the cutscenes, I imagine a big challenge of writing in a video game now is you've still got to keep one eye on the player, then has to be able to transfer themselves into that character.
Totally. Absolutely. And then you have to feed them all this actual, like, practical shit
yes.
they have to go and do.
Yes.
Yeah.
And how do you do that without going, okay, now that the fun story bit's over, get three leaves
totally.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so this game, like, if this was, yeah, I mean, if this was just a movie that I was watching, it'd be a piece of shit.
Yeah. yeah.
Because I'm in it, I'm like, this acting is fine. Like I think the dialogue is good. Like
yep.
I think the writing, like the story, I'm really invested in it so far. Like I'm,
yeah.
and the way that it sets you up as this outsider and the way that it kind of establishes your motivations, I think is really well done.
Yep. Cool.
I think the combat and the hunting is great. Like,
Combat is.
So this is what I was saying with Far Cry. Like it with Primal, it dropped you in, and it was like you're just a caveman and you're running around, and it had that stupid made up language
that
I think was meant to make it more immersive, but just made me feel
so distant,
so
from the
not
characters.
Connected to it. So all the stuff that became a real drag in that, I like in this because it's got like the it's the same stuff. It's, you know, you kill one of the beasts and then you're foraging them for parts and you have to like constantly be getting berries that give you your health and all that kind of stuff. The crafting stuff, all the stuff that just started to really bore me and become repetitive very quickly in Far Cry.
Yep.
I'm into it in this. I give a shit about this. And there's a sense of like, and so I think I'm just about to get to the bit where it opens up and really lets you go in the open world.
Yeah.
So the bit that I'm in, the first couple of hours is all very linear, but it doesn't feel like some, you know, a lot of these games fall into the trap of the opening couple of hours are very stilted and you're like, yeah, just let me go. Mafia 3 suffered from it. It's like,
yes. sure.
I get it. Let me drive cars around.
Yeah.
This, I haven't found that a problem because I'm enjoying the story and this, I personally think that this world that they've built is so believable and so interesting that it's sort of showing you these little glimpses of it. I'm kind of enjoying, cool, so this little area here is this, and
like you want to go where it's telling you to go.
Exactly.
Exactly.
It doesn't feel like a drag. I'm actually a bit scared of being let loose on it. Like, I'm kind of, sure. I'm enjoying the linear side of it. Like, I kind of want this bit of it to keep going.
Yeah.
Like, so I mean, how does that stack up with how you're finding it?
I agree with all of that. The reason I say like, though, is because a lot of the best...
You can't commit.
No, I can commit. I'm not always a fence sitter. But I genuinely do like this game a lot.
Yeah.
The reason I don't love it is because the best aspects of it, weirdly, are things that they've taken from, and not like literally taken, but have been inspired by the good Far Cry games.
Yeah.
Sure,
so
okay.
All of the resource gathering, the crafting,
yep.
The combat stuff, it's all very reminiscent of like Far Cry 3 and 4.
Sure.
And in good ways.
And is it falling too much into that mold for you? Or like, is it too typical of that type of game?
No, because the differences are it's third person and the combat is slightly different. It's mostly melee and shooting a bow and arrow, which in Primal was not fun, but in this somehow is.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
it's the controls are just perfect.
Yeah. And the tripwire things. Like, you unlock a tripwire pretty early on, which... It's making me play games in a way that I don't. I'm normally like, when it's like set traps and stuff, I'm like, fuck that. I'm just going to go in. Yeah. But this, you kind of have to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
You just get fucked up by these things immediately if you're not more crafty about it.
That's cool.
And I'm enjoying doing that. Like setting the trip wires and then watching it come towards you and just fuck itself up on it is so immensely satisfying.
And the third person aspect makes the stealth really good. It's closer to a Last of Us or something where you do sneak from thing to thing. The enemies are genuinely dangerous, so the incentive to sneak is there, and the mechanics are great. Like, it's just really fun.
But I think what's interesting about it is that even if it's just doing a lot of stuff that other games have done before, just the story that it's telling and the world that it's in, it's so rare that you see that in a game where it's not just like, oh, it's a city set in this time period or it's just this...
Paris, 1732.
Yeah, totally.
And like that used to be absurd. Like imagine a game there and then Assassin's Creed goes and puts you in like London in the 1600s or whatever.
It's kind of
like,
boring.
Ah, fuck.
Yeah.
I guess I never did want
it's
this.
It's not just like it's not just zombies or wasteland.
It looks
or
imaginative.
It's actually, you know what I
it
do
is,
find?
Yeah.
There's a couple of things I found. I meant to make more of a list of this. The couple of things I found very funny. Like, so it's Earth in the very far future. So our world has kept progressing technologically. Yep. And then
as it will. Things will keep getting better.
Well, I mean, I disagree. I think this is an alternate timeline where, I reckon what's actually going to happen is we'll just stop now.
Yeah.
But so I just find it funny that it's like, but then people just regress back into being cavemen and all having weird names like fucking what's that guy what's your little enemy dude called, the guy that bullies you when you're a kid,
Bast or something,
they've all got these
Josh
like
Schmidt
very
for me.
Cavemen era exactly, it's like they've all got these like cavemen era names. It's like what happened to the fucking Thompsons? Did that just get phased out?
It is weird because they even like the human characters, they do integrate the mechanical stuff with their primitive technology. It's very strange, but I think,
It still works for me.
It totally works. Yeah. And so the reason that I'm still digging it a lot and I like it more or as much as something like Far Cry 3, which I loved, is in this, there's all that third person stuff, the stealth, it's all very good. And I agree, the story and the characters are really cool.
Because what I didn't expect was I thought, oh, okay, you'll just be let loose in this open world and it's like there'll be a training mission and then you're just in it and it's like you've just got to go around and kill these dinosaurs. I didn't expect for there to be so much story that's just all character-based, that you could kind of transplant into anything. Like, and the way that sets you up to then be a part of this world is not something I expected from it.
Yeah,
and that's been a really big surprise.
That it always seemed like Far Cry Primal was missing is I never really got a sense that there was any sort of story, like, that they even had an idea of what to do with, like, the political intrigue or whatever they were trying to do in caveman times.
Yeah.
It seemed like none of that really happened to the degree where it needed to make that interesting.
And I'm a big one for the games I've always traditionally loved have been, you know, like Mario, stuff that I don't really care.
Yeah.
It's only in the last couple of years and for the purposes of reviewing on the show that I've bothered to really think about that stuff.
Yeah.
And so I can overlook that. But you've just got to give me something. You've got to give me a reason to be fucked.
Especially
pushing on.
If what you're doing in the case of Far Cry isn't even that interesting anyway.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Well, it sounds like this is exactly the opposite in both ways.
Totally. And it's the character is it's a classic outcast who's a little bit special.
Yeah.
You're fighting to prove yourself.
Caroline.
Strong female main character too, which is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, really like well drawn out character.
I'm finding it a little bit hard to identify with this character, a white person with dreadlocks. I don't know.
So not to spoil anything, but the very start of it, you play as her as like a little kid.
Yeah.
And then there's like a montage of her training and growing up. And then all of a sudden it cuts to the point of like, this is you now. This is you now, yep, as you're going to be playing for the rest of the game.
Yep.
And she's got dreadlocks. And out loud I went, oh, it's a shame. I wish I could customize my character. I'd still be a girl.
Yep.
It's 2017.
Yep.
Just wash your fucking hair.
Makes a lot more sense that you walk up to everyone and they're like, why are you talking to me?
Is that patchouli?
What is that smell?
Here's another thing I found funny.
I don't want to listen to James Taylor with you.
In one of the very early missions,
is James Taylor a good reference? I really was digging there.
From that space episode of The Simpsons.
Ben Harper, maybe? Yeah.
Ben Harper,
I like both of those artists, actually.
Yeah, all right, Dreddy.
There's a training mission early on where...
Judge Dredd over here.
Where your trainer, like your surrogate dad dude, he's like kind of teaching you how to take on the dinosaurs or the robots. And he's like, here, pick up these rocks. And you're like, why? And he's like... just do it and then I'll explain later. And you're like, oh, what are we going to fucking do with these rocks? And then you get five rocks and then you follow him and then he's like crouched behind a rock and there's like some robots over there and he's like, now throw the rocks at them. I genuinely laughed out loud. It's such a fucking good moment.
Oh, that's really funny.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. This game sounds cool again.
And it looks amazing.
And honestly, you know that I'm a little pessimistic sometimes maybe, but these are two games, Forerunner and Horizon, that I really didn't expect anything from.
Yeah.
And it sounds like they're both pretty good.
I think you made a big call on our 2017 predictions. I think you maybe even said that it wouldn't come out this year.
I don't know if I said it wouldn't come out, but I think I remember saying it wouldn't be good.
Yeah. Oh, and to be fair, like I as well, watching the trailers for those games, they looked very generic and not interesting.
This specifically, Horizon, looked like Tomb Raider Far Cry to me.
Yeah.
I like Far Cry, but I've gotten sick of it maybe because those games have gone downhill.
Yeah.
And Tomb Raider, I've never been that into. I've always thought they were fine, but like not great.
Well, this is like the kind of mechanics of Tomb Raider, but then with robot dinosaurs in the future. Like
and the story was always the big thing of Tomb Raider, I think, that turned me off of it.
Yeah.
That sucked
and
in the last two.
I'm excited about like going into different areas, and there really is a sense of awe when you see these machine, like when you see a new type of machine for the first time.
Yeah.
I'm excited. Like I've seen screenshots of some stuff later in the game that looks amazing that I'm like, yeah. And it looks great. Like it really is an example of the high-end graphics being used in a way that's not just, oh, look how pretty. Like, it really does do a lot of the lifting of getting you into the game.
Yep.
And I will say, I reckon it's a big selling point for the PS4 Pro.
Oh,
like
I've
never really given a fuck about graphics, but I like just how good this looks on just the normal PS4 that I have is making me go, fuck, I would love to see this on the if this is what
if
this
only
is
video
like
games would advance in some way and allow me to move forward into the future with these advanced new technologies that improve the game. Unfortunately, that's not the way video games work.
Stick an apple pie up your ass, mate.
There are some sequences early on where you fall into like a cave structure. And then you find this piece of technology, and the visualization of that technology is beautiful. Like
it is just
the color and the style is it. Yeah, it's really, really.
Well, again, I mean,
really
there's so many similar. Like I said, it just it delivers on what I wanted. Like just having that extra little element of like the world being a bit more like not just cavemen, like with that little twist, has just fulfilled everything that I wanted, whatever it was a year ago from Far Cry Primal. So so you basically have a thing, without spoiling it, that is very similar to the senses thing that you could use in Far Cry Primal.
Oh, I like the thing Batman detective.
Yeah, it's
boy.
Very similar to all of those things.
Sure.
Yeah.
But so I remember our big problem with that was if you want to track... you know, where if you want to follow footprints, you turn on this thing that makes the screen just like
grayscale green bullshit.
Yeah. Predator mode.
These, and so it's like this game looks beautiful, but you're spending so much of your time in this mode that looks like dog shit that you're not experiencing that. This has a mechanic similar to that, but it just integrates into the world so nicely it also doesn't fuck you up.
It forces you to walk very slowly, so you can't have it on all the time.
Yeah.
Okay. You turn it on, you can scan a couple of things, you get the lay of the land, you turn it off again.
That sounds frustrating, but it seems like it works smartly.
The incentive is to just use it for a bit and turn it off.
Cool, okay.
Yeah, it really works. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to giving this a go.
Yeah,
and so I guess we're getting near the end of the episode, and so what's interesting about this is with the timing of it coming out, I kind of expected that we would get our hands on it, and then I thought, oh, you know what, I'll play a couple of hours of it for the sake of talking about it on the show, but then the Switch and Zelda is out on Friday, so then good luck to you, buddy. But I like this so much that, and we were talking about this the other week about like just what's coming out, you know, in the next couple of weeks in terms of what we had to talk about on the show, and we kind of realized, oh, this is such a weird week because you have these two games that are kind of similar.
Yeah.
Really similar.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, look,
from
you know,
the look of it, yeah.
Yeah, open world kind of, you
big,
know.
Like sort of
mystical
exploration.
Mystical kind of setting. Yeah. Exploration. Setting, yeah.
Left alone to sort of like have the world be like against
bow and arrow,
you. The
and
world
spear,
is your enemy.
Like, very, like melee-based combat.
Yep. Yeah. Shitty graphics and good graphics. Good frame rate, terrible frame rate.
Oh. And so this has really kind of made me, it's made me a little anxious about playing Breath of the Wild because I really like this, and now all of a sudden I'm like, I honestly expected to just play it and then not really think about it much again. I'm probably going to play it for a bit when I get home and sneak in some time with it. Like, I'm really, really enjoying my time with it.
Who will be the deep impact and who will be the Armageddon?
Pretty much.
Fuck. Well, so, I'm just glad that it validated my choice to buy a PS4 Pro. Oh, wait, I didn't have to. I didn't have to buy a console for this game.
Yeah, but it would have made it better if you did because graphics advance and give it a games advance. Anyway.
So you haven't had a chance to play your copy yet, but I imagine you'll give it a bit of a go.
I will when I do. We'll play it probably in 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah. Well, I'm actually really interested to hear your take on it.
Mm.
I hope we haven't hyped it up too much for you and it's now going to suffer from...
I'm trying to stay a little cynical, honestly, still, because it still does look like those things to me. So I'd love to be pleasantly surprised by it, but I'm ready
Let's be fair, with the exception of like an hour or two of Far Cry Primal, I've never played a Far Cry game. So a lot of these things that it's in it that you're saying... It does well that are like other games. Well, this is kind of my first time really with that sort of mechanic.
I guess that is one of the reasons why I only said like I really do like it. It's fun. I don't think it's a massive like game changer, but it is fun so far. And I also have to reserve judgment on the story because it could be
it could go either way.
It could just be very boilerplate and boring.
But based on what I've played so far, I mean, I think if you've got a PS4, if you're not going to be sinking time into the Switch, I'd say I definitely would recommend it at this point.
So I'll be going big into Zelda from Friday.
That's the interesting thing. So do you want to just touch quickly on that? So that's out Friday.
Yeah,
first word is good. I'm trying to temper my hype. I mean,
so am I. I don't believe it because when Skyward Sword came out,
It got a really similar shit.
A lot of people going, this is the best one, this is incredible,
right?
Oh, it's all beautiful and brand new and amazing, and then that game fucking sucked,
right?
Oh, it was so bad.
I loved the start of that. I liked when you were in the sky village and you were doing the bird racing and stuff.
Honestly,
like that.
I might be exaggerating, but I kind of wish that as soon as I got onto the ground I
immediately didn't like it as much.
The shit I remember from that game is just being told exactly what to do the whole way through, and that really annoyed me, and by all accounts the new Zelda is the complete opposite of that.
Yeah.
Well, so we all had our reservations when we played the demo at the hands-on event.
That seems like it hasn't changed the stuff that we were a bit worried about with that in terms of the frame rate. Well, I'm talking about the Wii U version because that's what I'm going to be playing.
Okay. Yeah. What I've heard is from people who've reviewed it, what I've read online, people who've played the finished version now and the demo build, that it's running better than the demo build.
Yeah.
That there's not that... So basically the overall thing I've read is kind of what I was thinking at the time, that it doesn't lend itself to being demoed. Certainly the way that they did it was not 20 minutes from the very start is not the way to play this game. I've heard that it, weirdly enough, there is no slowdown on the handheld mode of the Switch, but there is when it's docked into the TV.
That makes sense.
Right. There's occasional frame rate slowdown when you go into tall grass.
It's
but I've also heard that it's a lot. It runs a lot better than what that demo build was.
Yes, right. And that makes sense that it would run better in the handheld one because it's rendering at a lower resolution.
Yeah.
And it's the same machine. And the Wii U one, I watched some footage from like people in France have copies of it. I think it got broken early there or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's some YouTube stuff. And the Wii U version is definitely a little cluggy.
Yeah.
Right.
But whatever, you adjust to that stuff, and if it's good enough, it doesn't really matter.
Totally.
Like,
yeah.
It's not a huge deal.
I'm really fascinated. Like, it sounds very interesting and zen, and the way that you just like you come to a river, and it's like, well, what are you gonna do? You can try and chop down a tree and use that to cross. There's if you see up there, you can try and go around and cross up there.
Yeah.
You can try and drop down the side and then hope you have enough stamina to make it up
the
other end.
I've already decided, like, you can turn the little mini map that's in the corner off.
Yep.
Oh,
and I'm going to do that, I think, and try to just go a little bit like I'm in the woods, which way's north.
Yep.
I might get sick of that in 20 minutes and turn it back on.
Well, I think it's going to be really interesting that are you going to go in over the weekend?
I don't know. I'm starting to think that I might get a Switch, but I might just wait.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think I'll bother playing it on Wii U. I might just wait. I might just listen to your guys' opinions.
Yeah, that'll be interesting because you'll be playing it on the Switch all weekend kind of. And then I'll be playing it on the Wii U for most of the weekend. Some of the weekend.
Yeah.
I'm a busy boy. I'm a busy little beaver. Got to build my dam. Do I chop down a tree to do it though, or do I try and divert the river from over there?
Well,
how do I build that dam?
Well, I've talked about this before in the lead up, but so it Friday morning, I'm going to go pick it up, set it up, charge it, and then I'm flying to Adelaide for the weekend and I'm back Sunday night. So that'll be really interesting where the bulk of my time with it will be handheld mode over the weekend, and I think it'll be kind of exciting to get a bit used to it in that setting and then have it on the TV will kind of feel like a...
Sure,
when the Super Game Boy came out, you were like, what's up there on the screen?
Oh my God, how's the TV station know what I'm asking Donkey Kong to do?
Fuck, I've just realised that's all they've done, these motherfuckers, is just reboot the Super Game Boy.
The Ultra Game Boy.
Yeah, fuck.
Yeah, cool.
I'm really
we'll have our impressions of that next week.
Yeah.
I guess that's all we need to say for this week, guys. Thanks so much for listening. We've got, the live show on sale.
Yep.
We've also got our comedy festival shows on sale. Mine is Tommy Dasilo, Dinner for Two. We've got Adam Knox.
It's Adam and Eve, not Adam Knox is the name of my show. Please buy some tickets, you motherfuckers.
And also Chimp Cop.
Yeah,
the
Chimp
sketch
Cop,
group that you two
Chimp,
guys are in.
Chimp Cop Forever, our third show. It's looking like a good one.
Real nice. Good. We're looking at it like... crazy shit for it.
Yeah.
Having to pay people for what
how
the
crazy,
fuck
like,
we want to do.
Yeah. How crazy, like two girls at once.
Like, man, like a song's going to play at one point.
Yeah.
It'll be good. Please buy tickets.
Yeah.
Yeah. So check all that stuff out. Our socials, Ben, what do we got?
At Filthy Cast Pod on Twitter, Filthy Casuals on Facebook, filthycasuals.pod@gmail.com. It was pointed out on social media that you don't have to say the dot in a Gmail address, but I am going to continue to do so.
Why not? You bothered to, you took all that time to type it in when you set up the email
That's
address.
That's right.
May as well make the most of it.
And if you wanted to buy tickets to the live show, it's tinyurl.com/filthycasualslive.
Mm-hmm.
And go to our Bandcamp, filthycasualspod.bandcamp.com.
Yes, for the GTA episode.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for all the outrageous claims in the emails. We'll probably get back into them soon. Next week might be another big one, but who knows. Thanks for listening. And as we say at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals...
I'm not going to wash my hair for a while and grow a few dreadnoks.
Ooh.
And since it's the end of the episode, no one will know that there was silence after that because it'll just end.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.